When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey folks, Dan Freo here with your closing bell for November 1st, 2024. So they went down, rates went down a little bit, not as far as I thought they'd be, but the market turned right after it went down this morning on the jobs report. So I want to give you basically a list of things that happened today, and it's just uncanny that we can't figure out. We have bad jobs numbers, but rates go up again. So the rates turned just about 2-3 hours ago, so these numbers might be updated here shortly. So let's get to the numbers that we're seeing so far today. If you didn't see this morning's news, my video, or the news yet, I had to take a double take on this. There was 12,000 new jobs added this in the last payment cycle. And I nobody really had a clue how this was going to come in. ADP came in last week or this week, and their number was going to show this at about 100,000. So I'm back to being skeptical on the ADP numbers because they missed this by quite a bit. When I first looked at this, I was like, okay, are they missing a zero there? I thought that was 120,000, but no, it came in at 12,000. So the initial reaction in the markets was the bond market did pretty darn good. Look, out of the gate, here's where we were. So if you follow the bond market and you follow rates, this is what you have to watch. So we watched the MBS market, which is mortgage-backed securities. So here's what you're looking at right through here. Here's where the day opened. Okay, so it was down 20, and then all of a sudden it got the news how bad the jobs report was, and it spiked all the way up to like 20. And then since then, it just keeps giving back ground. So I don't know if it's election fears next week because nobody knows what's going to go on, but I have a chief economist here. He's on with CNBC. I'm only going to play a kip, just a small portion of this in the part that he talks about the employment numbers, and I think we're on the same page here. He does have a little bit of a different dynamic on it, so he starts to dive into the segregation piece of how much the women's employment grew and how much minority it grew and so forth. So check out this comment, and he's the chief economist, and then we're going to come back and I'm going to show you how the MBS market's actually going against this the news, and then I'm going to also show you some basically chartings on why rates might continue their upward trend. So we got a lot packed in for you. So let's first get to this interview, and then we're going to come back with all the data that really matters for mortgage rates. So let's get to it.
Market reaction to the Washington reaction, the miss on payrolls coming less than a week before the election, of course. Joining us this morning is the Council of Economic Advisors Chair, Jared Bernstein. Jared, happy Friday. Good to have you.
Great to be with you.
The number itself is obviously going to be a political weapon on either side. How do you explain this 12K?
Well, the underlying U.S. economy remains very strong. We have a very supportive data flow for this week. But we know that there were two powerful forces leading to negative and temporary impacts on payroll growth. Those were, of course, the hurricanes that hit the southeastern United States, wide swaths therein, and the strikes. And if you account for those factors, the underlying pace of payroll job growth is still healthy, probably in the 150,000 range. That's enough to keep the unemployment rate steady. And in fact, the unemployment rate, which doesn't suffer from the same distortions as the payroll count due to the way the surveys are constructed, held at 4.1% solid wage growth. And of course,
That's the problem we have right through here, manufacturing. So is this a blip in the radar because of all the weather situations? But again, we were built on a country of manufacturing, and this is where we really need it to be. We don't need it to be in government jobs, and we don't need to be, well, we need it in servicing in sections like that. This is where we're really suffering. So when you start seeing a negative 44,000 in manufacturing, it's telling you there's something just wrong, because even if this is down, it shouldn't be down 44,000. So I think he has a deeper take on this.
Earlier in the week, strong GDP growth, low inflation, rising real wages and incomes. So take out the distortions, the temporary distortions from these two forces. The U.S. economy remains solid as ever.
How do you, Jared, how do you find a number that is reasonable to quantify the storm effect? I know Leisman today was looking into, for example, some correlations between the storms and temporary help, for example.
Right. It's an important question. And in fact, the Bureau of Labor Statistics themselves, which doesn't usually make this kind of a statement, pointed out that the storms did negatively affect the payroll count, but they couldn't quantify it. Look, first of all, on the strikes, we know that was responsible for the significant about a 44,000 decline in transportation workers in manufacturing. When it comes to the storm, I've seen estimates of 50 to 100,000 in terms of negatives there. And if you look at the sectors that were affected, if you look at the parts of the country that were affected, you see that quite clearly. I'm about to post a figure on Twitter as soon as I can back up to my office, which helps answer the question you asked, because it shows the ups and downs of unemployment insurance claims in the affected areas against the parts of the country that didn't get hit by the hurricanes. You see a very clear spike in unemployment insurance claims during the hurricane and during the reference week for the payrolls.
So this is interesting. So we had 12,000. It was expected to come in about 100,000. So let's add these up. We got 50,000 here, and we got another 50,000 there. So there's 100 and say 110, 112, plus we got 12,000. So it's about 120, 125,000. I think that's what the market actually figured out. So the initial reaction was, whoa, this is terrible. And this is what happened in the market right through here. So again, how you understand this charting. So how to figure out where mortgage rates are. We follow the mortgage bond. We don't follow the 10-year treasury. We don't follow the federal funds rate. We don't follow the Fed. We follow mortgage-backed securities. So here's the analysis of this. We came out of the gate and the number looked really bad. So mortgage bonds spiked. When the prices go up, yields come down. Okay, so that's what initially happened. But as the data gets compiled and reviewed and these other details come back in, it's saying, okay, it wasn't so bad if we actually back in all these numbers of people who were just on temporary unemployment. So the numbers would have came in at like 120 to 150,000, just like ADP said, and just like the analyst had. So the markets actually eased right back to where they are. And now they're treading now minus 15. That means mortgage rates are popping up just a little bit. This should play catch up maybe in a little bit, but that's where we might be on rates right now. We've overpassed 7%. I didn't think we'd see that for some time. So let's get over to here. Here's one of the issues that we face right now as well. I'm getting my head out of the way. There's a channel or a pattern forming in the MBS market. So look at this charting right through here. So these do come into play if you're a chartist. This is telling us, you know, here's the range of what the bonds are doing, and it's just keeps ticking up and up and up and up. So there's a trajectory here of it's not looking good on the pattern. So we need the data to come in to help the situation. So now let's get over the equity markets. And it's a completely different story there. Remember yesterday we lost like 500 on the Dow. We got almost all of it back today. So you see the major indices right through here. Most of them are up almost close to 1%. I've never seen a market that's up 1% one day, down 1% one day, up 1%. There's major swings. And that's the tough part. We need just, you know, slow and steady. Again, the VIX is starting to come down. This is the anxiety level of the markets. So let's go over to crypto, see what it's doing. It is in the red. Now it's below 70,000. This thing's been moving. Remember I said the trading range on this is about 64 to 70. So I usually buy at 64, 63, 62, and then I release at about 70. I sell it off. This time I held my one son's telling me, Dad, hold it for the long term. So that's what I'm doing. But if I'm a trader on this, I buy at 64, sell at 70. I'm not telling you guys what to do. It's just what I do, and we can talk about that on Stock Talk Tuesday next Tuesday. So that's what we're looking at right through there. Let's see the oil. What's oil's doing? It is up, but we're still at $70 a barrel. I'm cool with that. So that's what we're looking at, the broad markets. Let's get over the overall growth of the economy or health of the economy. We go over this on a daily basis. We still have the federal funds rate at 4.75 to 5%. That will change next week, and there's basically a 90% probability of that. They did put this back on the chart. So what we're looking at right now is the CME FedWatch tool. And this is telling us, or at least kind of giving us an idea, what's the Fed going to do in 5 days? Okay, so this gives us the probabilities of that. And if you go down through here this morning, if you check out this morning's video, this column wasn't even there because basically it didn't exist. But look at it now. There's pretty much all certainty that the Federal Reserve is going to cut. Now, they're not going to cut, you know, deeper than this. They're going to give a 25 basis point cut. And then from there, honestly, I don't know where it's going to go. Most people are saying they're going to cut another 25 basis points. I'm saying they might be one and done for this year and then see how next year goes. But that's just me. So we're going to have to check out and see what happens next week. The election, wars in the Middle East, and things like that. They're playing havoc on everything. And it's hard to give our forecast at this time. So here's where mortgage rates are. My name is Dan Frio. I'm actually a loan officer. I'd love to win your business. Okay. I'm licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico, and I'm here to help you. So our goal here is to help you from basically the initial application phase all the way to the keys in your pocket.